No, I didn't call.
Okay, we read this week the center of Lech Lecha. Lech Lecha is really the first center of the Torah that deals in a meaningful sense with the Jewish people, the creation of the Jewish people, through, of course, the stories of Avraham Avinu. And nothing is more important but seems more tangential than the changing of the names of Avraham and Sarah, which begins in Perek Yud Zayin, towards the end of the Sedra. It's very interesting. Why does it make a difference, really, that their names are changed? What does it matter what they're called? What's in a name? That which we call a rose? Right, any name would smell as sweet. So is Avram a different person than Avraham? And Sarai different than Sarah? What really is the change that takes place? And yet the change is a dramatic one. So we'll just look at the psukim, the psukim which relate to it, and then we'll look at the broader context. It's pasuk hey. God says, "Velo yikare od." Actually, son Dalad, ani hinei vrisi toch. God says, "Behold, my covenant is with you." V'ha'yisa la'av hamon goyim, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. Velo yikare od eshimcha Avram. Your name will no longer be called Avram. V'hayoshimcha Avraham. Your name will rather be Avraham, with the added hey, ki av hamon goyim nesaticha, because I have appointed you or placed you to be the father of a multitude of nations. All right. Rashi explains that av hamon goyim is loshon notrikon shel shmo. It's an acrostic, so to speak. The Resha Hoysa Bo Betchilo Shohoya Av El Aram Shumikomo, that first his name was Avram because Avram was the father, the spiritual father of Aram, where he was born and raised and where he first practiced the craft of preaching the word of God. So literally, Avram, he was the father of Aram. V'achshav Av l'chol ha'olam, but now he's Av Hamon Goyim, the spiritual father of all of mankind. In which case, we'd have to ask a question. What should his name have been? Avham. Av Hamon Goyim. Not Avram. The Resh was Aram. Now he's no longer just the Av of Aram, he's the Av of Hamon Goyim. His name should be Avham. Doesn't have the same ring to it from our perspective, but that should be his name. So Rashi says, nonetheless, Afilu Reish Shehoya Bo Mitchilo Lo Zozo Mimkomo. The Reish, which was originally there, it did not move. It stayed in its place, and the addition was Avraham, just like it says the Yud of Sarai also found a resting place eventually, but that we'll return to in a few minutes. So Avram's name was changed to Avraham in that pasuk. You skip on a few psukim to Perek Yud Zayin, pasuk Tesvav. Vayomer Elokim el Avraham. God said to Avraham, which is actually a separate tzivuy, it's a separate act. You'll note right before there's a samech, it's a parsha stuma, meaning a new paragraph starts in the Torah. God says to Avraham, Sorai ishtecha lo sikra shemoh Sorai. Ki Sarashma, your wife Sarai, you will no longer call that her name, Sarai, rather Sarashma, her name will be Sarah. So a few changes that take place in the naming of Avraham, or the renaming of Avraham, and the renaming of Sarah. One, of course, is that in regard to Avraham, it says, Velo Yikorei. What's Yikare? It refers to others. Others will not call you Avram. They'll call you Avraham. Whereas regarding Sarai, it says Sarai Ishtecha Lo Tikra. You will not call her Sarai. It doesn't mention anything about anybody else. It doesn't say anything about others. Furthermore, what's that? Speaking of Tzniyus, God told Avraham directly that his name is changed, but in regard to Sarai's name change, it's Vayomer Elokim El Avraham. God doesn't talk to Sarah directly. God says to Avraham that Sarah, your wife, now has a new name. So why didn't he say to Sarah directly? Why go through her husband, Avraham? So there are two almost stylistic, but of course substantive differences that we have to account for in the renaming process. Now, there's more to this as well. So the Gemara says in Brachos, how we get the Gemara, but I'm all hooked up. It doesn't pay. So the Gemara says in Brachos, the Medrash records it as well. Oh, so let me take it from here. Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, but the Medrash Rabbah has it in a similar form. Bar Kapara says, Pasuk says, V'lo yikore od shimcha Avram, your name will no longer be called Avram. Bar Kapara Amar, in the Gemara someone different. Kol mishu kore la Avraham Avram, anyone who calls Avraham Avram, now that his name is changed, over below sase, violates a law of a prohibition of the Torah. Because the Torah says, V'lo yikore od shimcha Avram. Reb Levi Amar, ba'aseh v'lo saseh. He violates, such a person who calls Avraham Avram, violates a lav and an asay. So it's a lav to call him Avram, and it's a bitul asay, you nullify a positive commandment by calling him Avram as well, because Vayashim Cha Avraham. So you violate two mitzvahs of the Torah. Okay, it's a very strong statement, which narrows the question. We live in a very, on a very systematic order of Taryag Mitzvahs. So what's the love? Which one of the Taryag Mitzvahs involves calling Avraham Avram? Where's the love? Where's the Asay? All right, we don't have to do a exhaustive search. The answer is none. It's not part of Taryag. So what then does the Gemara mean when it says that you're over a lav, or you're mevatel an asay? The Torah Tamima says that it's just an asmachta. Asmachta means it's used by way of reference. It's not meant to be literal. It's meant to be metaphorical. But even so, the language is strong. And he gives other examples as well where you find that the Gemara will use such an expression as over balav or over basay, when it doesn't mean literally a violation of tayag, but it means some other type of violation, some type of breach of, I don't want to say etiquette, it's too weak a word, but some breach of the order that we have in the world of Torah. So that's the question. What exactly is it? It's not an isser, like you can't eat trey food. So what is the lav? Why does the Gemara even use such language? And again, the question that recurs each time we raise a different issue, what's the difference really? I mean, what... will the Republic fall if someone calls Avraham Avram? I mean, what's happened? As a matter of fact, it seems to have such a significance that we say this every morning in the davening. Where do we say this? In a little snippet, a citation from Nehemiah, at the end of Vayivarech David, right before Becharas Imar Bris, Atahu Asher Becharta Be'Avram. You, God, are the one who chose Avram, Votzei So Me'ur Kasdim, and you took him out of the furnace of the Chaldees, Ur Kasdim, V'sam Toshmo Avraham, and you made his name Avraham. U'motzosas Livavo, you found his heart, Neman Lefanecha, faithful before you. Well, if it seems like just the detail in the Seder as we read it, somehow it's significant enough that we mention every day. But I mean every single day of the year. We mention that in Pesukei Dezibra. So what then is the importance of Avram's name change and Sarah's name change as well? Now, it has an even more interesting context than we think. I'll just cite some of the Midrashim and we'll try to put it in some perspective. It's Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Memdalid, Siman Yud. Vayomer Avram, Hein Li Lo Nasato Zara. Avram says, this is the previous parak, that behold, you have not given me any seed, any offspring. Vayomer Avram said that. Amar Shmuel Yitzchak, Hamazal dochatani. Mazal meaning my fortune, what I foresee in my life, is pressuring me. It's convincing me that I'm not going to have a child. V'omer li, and it's saying to me, Avram, einat molid, Avram, Nebuch, you're not going to have any children. Amar lo kadosh baruch hu, God said to him, hein kidvarecha, you're correct? Exactly as you said, Avram lo molid, Avram is having no children at all. Avraham molid, Avraham is having a child. Sarai ishtecha lo tikrashma Sarai. Sarai lo teled. Sarah teled. Sarai will have no children. Sarah is going to have a son. Right, that's what the Medrash says. We have to understand what that means again. What's the difference, really, whether the child came through Avram or through Avraham? The fact is, Avram did have a child, Ishmael. Ishmael was born under the name Avram to a different mother, the mother being Hagar. But Yitzchak came into the world only, even was conceived, only when Avram had become Avraham and Sarai had become Sarah. So why is that? What does it mean? Next, the Medrash says as well, this is in Memzayin Aleph. All right, two different things to focus on. Vayomer Elokim. So now God says to Avram, Sarai ishtecha, ksiv, eish ischayil ateres bala. The woman of valor is the crown of her husband. Amar v'acha, bailo nisater ba, v'hilo nisatra b'vailo. It's a reference to Sari Menu, that her husband becomes crowned through her, but she is not crowned through her husband. That's the uniqueness of Sarah, that Sarah was not just eish es Avraham. Sarah, the Medrash says, was a gevira in her own right, and she's not just an adjunct to Avraham. Rabbanon Amre, Rabbanon said, Marta Labaila b'chol makom. So Marta Labaila, here she was the Marta literally means a gevira. What we say, the house, the master of the house. I don't use the word mistress, but the mistress of the house, the one who runs the house. All right, okay, yeah, similar. But we'll understand it here. B'chol makom ish gozer. In every home, don't be to take offense. In every home, the Medrash says, the man rules the roost. Bram hacha, here, Sarah. Kol asher tamar lecha Sarah shma bekola. God told Avraham, you don't run your own home. Sarah is greater in prophecy than you, so she runs the home. All right, I don't want to darshan that area of b'chol makom ish gozer. We all know it's the clever woman who runs the home, who makes her husband think he's running the home. That's the clever woman. But clearly the Medrash is very explicit that the home of Avram and Sarah was not like that. That Sarah was the Gevira. She was the mistress of the home. She was the one whom Avram had to consult, because as Chazal say, she was greater than him in prophecy. So that only makes our question strong that we raised before. If that's the case, why didn't God speak directly to her? Why did God say to Avraham that your wife now has a new name? And finally, a very fascinating medrash that every child knows. So Avraham had a letter added to his name. Hey. All right, Avraham. What happened to Sarai's name? She had a letter displaced. The hey displaced the yud. What happened to the yud? The Medrash says, the Gemara says this also, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Yud shenotal HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misarai Nechlak. The Yud was taken from Sarai and chopped into divided into two. What's 10 divided by 2? Hay and hay. So Avraham got one hay, and Sarai got the other hay. Chetzel l'Sarai v'chetzel Avraham. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Yochai, Yud shen not HaKadosh Baruch Hu Misarai. So it works out numerically. It doesn't work out conceptually, because the Yud that God took from Sarai's name, Hoyatasu Forech Lifnei Kiso HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that letter was flying about the Kisei HaKavod, Amar Lefanov, Ribono Shel Olam. So the Yud said, little Yud, Bishvil Shani Ketano Shebaotzios, because I'm the smallest of the letters, and Yud is the smallest letter. Hoseisani misora tzedekes. I'm so insignificant in your eyes that you just removed me from the righteous sorrow and left me dangling in the air. Or Mar Lakadosh Baruch Hu, so God said, in the past you're at the end of Sarah's name, and the end of the letters of the father and mother of our people. Achshav ani nosnoch b'shmo shel zochor v'roshon shel osios. Now he'll be put at the head of a male name and at the beginning of his name. Shenemar, Pasuk says in the beginning of Shalach, Vayikra Moshe Loshea Binun Yehoshua, Moshe's aide-de-camp and his ultimate successor, was named Hoshea, before Moshe sent him on the mission to reconnoiter Eretz Yisrael with the other spies, he added a yud to his name. Where's that yud from? That's the yud from Zorah. That yud was placed at the head of Yehoshua's name, Vayikra Moshe Lehoshea Binun Yehoshua. So this, of course, cries out for an explanation. It's a nice little tale, and everything works out. You have numerically works out. Tevi Yud, it's 10, so you have two Hays, but there's still a letter Yud which is missing. That Yud found its home at the beginning of Hoshea bin Nun's name, Yehoshua. So what, of course, does all this mean? Let's look at the Psukim, beginning now, Perek Yud Zayin. Vayi Avram ben Tishim Shana v'Teisha Shanim. Avram was 99 years old, in the prime of life. Really, his life was just starting in that sense, in a very real sense. Vayira Hashem el Avram, so God appeared to Avram, Vayomer Elov, Ani Kel Shakai, I am God who is all sufficient. Rashi, that's the name Shakai, Shaddai. Ani hu sheish dai belohusi l'chol birio. There's enough in my mastery, in my governance of the world, to sustain every creature. So the name Shattai, Shin Dal Yud, one of the names of Kodesh Baruch Hu, that means that God provides for everybody. Ani Kel Shakai, Hishalech Lefanai Ve'yesamim. Walk before me, Ve'yesamim, and you should be wholehearted, pure. Meaning what? So there is a context here, as we know from the Perek. Avram is not only does not only have his name changed, but he also receives a mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of Milah. So for Avram to father Yitzchak requires a new name and requires the bris milah as well. So that's the context of the parak generally. But it's more than that. V'etno brisi b'ni uveinecho. I will place my covenant between me and between you. V'arbel schabimod mod, and I'll make you very, very numerous. Avram hears this. By Paul Avram Alpanov, he falls on his face. By the very tale, Lekim Leimor, God continues. So why did he fall on his face? What did he hear now that he didn't hear before? Ani he nevri si toch. God says, I behold, my covenant is with you. Vayisa la'av hamon goyim. And you will be the father of many nations, a multitude. V'loi kored Hashem Chavram, Hashem Chavraham, ki av hamon goyim nesaticho. And I'll make you more and more fruitful. I'll turn you into nations. And kings will come forth from you. And I will confirm my covenant between me and you. And between your descendants and me forever, for all generations, an eternal covenant. To be your God and theirs. Now the covenant of Eretz Yisrael as well. That's what God says to Avraham. Asks him only one thing in Pasuk Tes. You have to keep my covenant. Keep my covenant here means bris milah. But notice, two things take place. One is the mitzvah milah, and the other is the name change. By the way, they're not unrelated. That's why we always name a baby at a bris. It's based on this. Avram received the name at a bris, so that's exactly what we do. Now, clearly the names were changed in order to confer a different designation on both Avram and Sarah. See, we have a unique relationship with a name. What's a name? A name gives someone an identity. It's a shorthand reference to a person. There's always an element of mystery, you know, before a boy is named, before a girl is named. You have a baby, and the baby is sometimes called just baby for a few days, and then the name comes, and the name really attaches to the person's identity. Yeah, there's no doubt it's much different in our day than it was, say, in biblical times, where the names always reflected ideas. As you see, every name was an idea of some point or another, most clearly illustrated to us when Yaakov and Rachel and Leah named their children. Because whenever the child is named, Reuven ki Ra'ah, Shimon ki Shema, it's always related. Moshe ki men amai mishisiu. The name always reflects a certain idea. Now it's a little different. Now, you know, it's always amusing to me. Say a name. What's the name? Yitzhak Moshe. Oh, beautiful name. And if it was David Aryeh, it's not a beautiful name. The name, we use the same names. Occasionally in Israel today, in modern Israel, you find on occasion people will create a name. Happens. They'll create a name, so they're new names also. But most of our names are names from Tanakh and names from the Talmud. Those are the names that we use. So what really is the name? How does the name define the person? Rav Hirsch explains, not here but elsewhere, that the word shame, which is name, comes from a different word. What's that? Sham. What does sham mean? There. The shame is the there of the person. It's there. This is what the person is. What's the there? So names can convey ideas. In our context, it usually commemorates the name of a lost relative. But here, when Avram's name was changed, and when Sarai's name was changed, their names were ideas, of course. They became personal names as well. But I think in the clearest way to understand it is that the names were not names as much as they were titles. Titles, appellations. Like we'll use doctor, rabbi, esquire, even a different generation. Mrs. I used to use that word on occasion. Mrs. It conveys something about the person. Avraham and Sarah convey something about them that's more than a name. It's more than just a tool of reference. What is it? Let's look at Pasuk Bez. Ve'tnovri si beini uveinecha. I will place my covenant between me and between you. So the first covenant was about Eretz Yisrael. It was the Bris Bein Absarim. Took place in the previous Perek. Here it's a different covenant. Here, this the Malbim says, that Bris Hazet Tieh Bein Yu Bein Echo, this covenant between me and you, B'inyan She'yochol Achiv Al Shnei Atzdodim HaKorsim Bris. The Bris Bein Absarim was more or less a unilateral covenant. God said, I'm giving this to you, to your descendants. Here, it's bilateral. Something is asked of Avram as well. Kigam Avraham hischayevis atzmo liyoshutav HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'masa breishis. Here Avram is obligating himself to be God's partner in creation. Lehashlimis habriya ulatakno. To complete creation and to perfect it. V'reishis hatikun yaschil be'olamo akaton shugufo. And the beginning of the rectification of the world is through his body. Through Bris Milo. And that's the general context. That's what the Malbim says. That here, unlike the previous Bris, the Bris Bein Absarim, here the Bris is a bilateral, a mutual covenant between man and God. What's interesting, though, is that you see in Pasuk Gimel, after God says this, he falls on his face. Falling on one's face does not imply a comedic pratfall or clumsiness, but rather submission, complete submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am nothing. I'm completely humbling myself before you. That's what we do on the Yom Naram, we bow. All types of bowing, are forms of submission to God. So why, in fact, was he falling on his face here? Now, Rashi says something different. Every other reference in this parak, is to, almost everywhere, is to Bris Milo. Rashi says something different. Rashi says, "Vetnovri si bris shel ahava hu bris haaretz l'risham l'cha aydei mitzvah zah." Two brisas. The bris of ahava, a covenant of love, and a covenant of the land of Israel, that you will inherit it through this mitzvah of milah. By the way, where do we have bris and Eretz Yisrael mentioned together? in Berachas HaMazon. That's why they're linked, because the covenants were linked. Nodu Hashem Elokeinu, Al Shem Chatal Avasena Eretz Chamato Berchava, Avodis Al Brisra Shechasam Pibisarenu. It's in the same paragraph. By the way, Agavorcha, not to get too sidetracked, why do women say that in Berachas HaMazon? Well, Brisra Shechasam Pibisarenu. Because Machlokas in the Gemara, whether women are exempt, well, women are considered to have fulfilled the covenant of Milah. So apparently, the drafter, which is Yehoshua, Yeshua ben Nun, held that women are not exempt from Milah. They have already fulfilled the mitzvah of Milah. So that's why they could say they're the same bris that men have in that context. But you see, bris and aretz are, they're considered mehulim, already circumcised. Considered circumcised. In any event, you see bris and aretz are linked there because they're linked here as well. What is that bris shalava? What's that bris shalava? What's the covenant of love? Covenant of Eretz Yisrael, understand. Covenant of Milah, understand as well. What's bris shalava? That novri si beini uveinecha. I will place my covenant between me and you. Bris shalava. What's that? That is actually the most profound covenant known to man. And now we understand why Avram fell on his face. Because here, the King of Kings, the Melech Malchem Lachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, tells Avraham that I am enacting a covenant with you as an individual, a bris shel ahava, an intimacy. God is going to foster an intimacy between himself and the human being, Avraham Avinu. Another way of saying it, maybe even a more profound way, is that God's future, kivyachol, is linked with a person's future. And that is Avraham Avinu. God's future, so to speak, God's reputation, kivyachol, taught to even speak in these terms, is linked with that of Avraham and his descendants. By now we're used to it, we're so used to it, we don't realize the cosmic significance of what's going on here. But that's what's happening. Ve'et novri si beinu veinecha, a bris shel ahava, meaning God will have an eternal intimacy with Avram and his descendants. Part of that intimacy will relate to the land of Israel, right? The land in which Ein Hashem Elokecha Bo Mereishis Shana Ad Achris Shana Tomer Hashem Elokecha Doreish Oso, the land whose welfare God always looks after. And part of it, of course, is the Bris of Mitzvos, symbolized here by Milah, but generally by all the mitzvahs. So now we understand why Avram fell on his face. He's being told something that no other human being was told before, and frankly, no other human being was ever told afterwards. V'et novri si beini uveinecha. It's not even at first between me and you and your descendants, Avram. It's between me and you. Me and you. God links his fortunes, so to speak, to that of Avram Avinu. And Avram, of course, becomes God's messenger in the world. And bless you. And more than that, the Haftarah is from Yeshayahu this week, refers to Avram and his descendants. How's Avram called? Zera Avraham Ohavi. The seed, the descendants of Avram, my beloved, Ohavi. That's the bris shel ahava. That's the love, this bris ahava between Avram and God, which, I mean, it's hard even to speak in these terms, but there's a mutual bris. God loves Avram, and Avram loves God. That carries over to our day. That became part of the mitzvah of Avos Hashem, that we should try to cultivate that same relationship with God that Avram Avinu had. It's mind-boggling to think about it, but that's what happened here. V'et novri si beinu veinecha. So now we understand at least why a name change was necessary. It's a different person. A different person, a different role. That's the Medrash that says that Avram could not have a Yitzchak. Why couldn't he have a Yitzchak? Because he did not yet enter into that covenant, that bris shel ahava with God. Yitzchak is going to be the heir of a spiritual / philosophical system in which Avas Hashem is its core, until Avram becomes Avraham and partakes of that Avas Hashem, that bris shel ahava, so there can't be any Yitzchak. Sarai as well. Avram has a limited role, in a sense. profound role in terms of the world, but a limited role in terms of this Ava. Now, Avram's role is expanded. Avram, at first, had a limited assignment. Limited in the sense that even in Aram, in Haran, he was God's shaliach to one nation. God's shaliach to Aram. And we know very well that Avram Avinu was a revolutionary. He was a revolutionary. We think of him, of course, in patriarchal terms, old man, beard, walking stick, kind-hearted, having people into his tent. It's very true. One does not necessarily contradict the other. But Avram was a revolutionary who was an outlaw, who was persecuted in his homeland, who was thrown into the furnace by Nimrod, whose ideology and whose megalomania Avram challenged. So Avram was not, a meek preacher who waited for people to come and then he had some good divrei Torah. No, Avram went out and preached against the dominant culture and morality of the time, and he ruffled feathers. But that was a limited assignment compared to what came later. Now, Avram has a different assignment, and that is to be the spiritual father of mankind. Of course, it should always fascinate us to this day that Avram Avinu was perceived as the spiritual father of mankind. Two books came out the last few years, bestsellers. One I won't recommend, it wasn't that good, but the other one I do recommend by David Klinghoffer called The Discovery of God, Avram and Monotheism, which is almost a beautiful biography of Avram Avinu. And what Avram meant in his time and to his generation, really for all times. The other book is more or less, Klinghoffer at least is a religious Jew, the other fellow is not, and just more of how Avram relates to the three so-called monotheistic religions. But nonetheless, it should fascinate that the so-called monotheistic religions of the world do claim ancestry or descent from Avram Avinu. It is interesting. This is part of it. This is Av Hamon Goyim Nesaticho. So in fact, many people claim, I guess we could even say that for millennia, most of the civilized world, wasn't always the majority of the world, but most of the civilized world claimed descent from Avram Avinu. How is it possible? So the answer is, it's not that he's now an Av to everyone, because that would mean his name should be Avham, like we said earlier. That's the point that Rashi's making. His name is not Avham. He is an Av to everyone, but he's an Av to everyone only through Klal Yisrael, only through his descendants. Again, look at Rashi inside, it'll become clearer. Rashi says, V'lo yikare ero shemcha Avram, v'yosh shemcha Avraham, ki Av Hamon goyim nesaticho, losho notrikun shel shmo. It's an acrostic of his name. The resh that was there at the beginning, Shohoya Av Ella Aram. Avram really embarked on his life's mission without any message from God. That's what made him such a great historic figure. That God didn't speak to Avram and say, I have a job for you. Avram on his own, as the Rambam says at the beginning of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, Avram on his own went out and began preaching the notion of a Borei Olam, of a creator, to an entirely pagan and hostile world. So then he became the Av of Aram because he attracted many followers. V'achshav Av l'chol ha'olam. Now he's the father of the world. But if he was the father of the world, his name should be Avham. Afilu reish shohaya bo mitchila lo zoza mimkomo. That reish, which was at the beginning of his, which was in his original name, did not move even an inch. Meaning what? That Avram may have a universal mission. And we recognize that. But just because we have a universal mission doesn't mean he renounced the spiritual relationship that he had with a particular nation. There's a universal and there's a specific. Avram was given a universal mission. Av Hamon Goyim, but he remains Avraham in the sense that he's bound also to guide and shepherd the affairs of one particular nation. Originally the nation was Aram. Who's that nation now? the nation that will emerge through Yitzchak, through his son. That's the change. He's still Avram Avinu. And yet, he's also Veschol L'Goy Gadol. Veschol L'Goy Gadol, make you into a great nation, a great people, those are your descendants. But, V'nivruchu V'cho, Kol Mishpachos Adama. All the families of the earth, all of mankind, can seek blessing through you. So that really is our mission. What the Torah describes here, and it's almost done in a way which seems understated, minimized, the change of the name. So many cosmic ideas are being expressed here. So what's the first mission? The first mission is to the Jewish people. That's the Klal Yisrael. That's the first mission. That you, Avram, have to find, you have to found a nation. That's why the Medrash emphasizes that Avram will not have a child. The fact is, Avram did have a child. That was Yishmael. But that child plays no role in the historic mission of Avram in founding a specific nation that would adhere to the covenant. Yes. Yishmael was circumcised at the end of the Sedra. And Elech Lecha, he was 13. Yes, that's true. That's true, they do. It's part of... Yeah, that's part of it. That's part of it. The Quran does a neat cut and paste on the Torah, essentially substituting Yishmael for Yitzchak. All right. Yeah, even to the extent that just there's a festival that concludes Ramadan. Ramadan just ended last week. Mazel Tov. The world's a little safer. But I think it's Eid al-Adha that ends Ramadan. There's a separate festival called Eid al-Fitr. Eid al-Fitr celebrates what they call Akedas Yishmael. So it's a nice cut and paste that they did on the Torah. Yes.
If the Reish is what... They don't get rid of the Reish because the Reish is what links him to his original mission. That puts him in Aram when he... And as Avram, that's when he had Yishmael. So I'm getting a little confused as to how the... If the Reish is the original mission, why is it only after the Hay comes? Is that the continuation of the mission?
Yes, so listen to Rashi. Shohoya Av El Aram Shumikomo.
Okay.
All right, that was his place. So at first he was the Av of Aram. Now he's not just, he's Av Hamon Goyim as well, but it's not limited to Hamon Goyim. Let me rephrase that. It's not only Av Hamon Goyim in the sense that he's everybody's spiritual father, Tafasta Maruba, Lo Tafasta. He is the Av Hamon Goyim, but there's a specific and special relationship that Avram has with one nation. That nation is no longer Aram. Why? Because at this point, like Rashi says, then, hu mikomo, now what's his makom? The land of Israel. So that's why the covenant of the land is repeated here as well. That's not Bris Ava, but it's Bris Haaretz too. Now this is his makom, so therefore who's going to be his natural heirs? Literally, those who will take the place of Avram Avinu in this mission? The ones who dwell are Shochem Mitzvah, the ones who dwell in Eretz Yisrael. That becomes the natural mission. That's the first thing. So Avram really has a dual mission. It's a mission to the Jews as a specific family, and the ones who will be the repository of the Shekhinah and the heirs to Eretz Yisrael. And he has a separate mission. Avram does, and so do we, to the nations of the world. But it's really through, it's not, see, Av Hamon Goyim alone means Avram to the world. Avraham, that's Avham. Avraham means through us to the world. And that's the way, that's the flow, not only of God's brachos, but really of God's ideas, through us to the rest of the world. Now, how is the mission, the Klal Yisrael, and the Bris Haaretz symbolized here? The Chazal always spoke in a very brilliant, even lyrical way. That's the Medrash of the dangling Yud. The Medrash says that the Yud was floating in the air, complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it had lost its treasured position at the end of the name of one of the imos of Sarimenu. Bishroshini Katana Shabotzios Hotesani Misarta Dekas, because on the smallest of the letters, God said, I'll restore you to Bishmoshel Zohar Uberoshim Shalosios, Vyikra Moshe Loshe Binun Yoshua. So now we understand. This heard from my brother in law, by the way. Nice idea. Now we understand what happened here. Where was Yoshua being sent when Moshe took that Yud of Sarai, so to speak, and put it into his name? To scatter out Eretz Yisrael for the purpose of what? Conquest of the land of Israel. What's the broader purpose? To fulfill the covenant with the Avos. That's why Yoshua ben Nun was sent to Eretz Yisrael. Yoshua became the conqueror of Eretz Yisrael with that Yud of Sarai. Meaning what? Meaning he's the one who fulfilled the Bris Ava. We all fulfill. But he's the one who fulfilled the Bris Shel Eretz Yisrael. Because he was the conqueror and the distributor of the land of Israel. Now we understand exactly what the Medrash means. It's not just Stam stories. Took a Yud from here, put it there. It's that Yoshua was the natural heir, in that sense, to that aspect of the covenant. Moshe Meis, Yoshua Machnis, Es Yisrael La'aretz. Moshe was dying. He was not fulfilling that bris. Moshe was the bris Sinai, the bris Torah, the bris of mitzvahs, the bris Haaretz. That's Yoshua ben Nun. I mentioned before, just as an aside, the Bris and Aretz references are combined also in the second bracha of Yerachas HaMazon, of Nodelecha. Who drafted that bracha? Who composed it? Yoshua ben Nun, on the day that they entered Eretz Yisrael and they conquered their first territory. Nodelecha Hashem Elokeinu, Shenchalta L'Avoseinu, Eretz Chemda Tova Urchava. That is exactly a bracha that should come from Yeshua ben Nun, and that's why Yeshua ben Nun bears the name, the letters really, of Avram and Sarah. And that's also what the Medrash means, that the Yud was divided into two. Hey. It all works out in that sense, that the covenant God made with Avram and Sarah, that covenant found its ultimate fulfillment through Yeshua ben Nun. So there's a dual mission that we have. There's a mission to the Jewish people. That's the Yud, and Eretz Yisrael, and Torah, and Shechina, and the Bris Ava, and that's the mission to the nations of the world as well. That's Avraham through us to them. He who thinks that Avraham has only one mission, and you find this error recurring historically, ad hayom hazeh. Whoever thinks that Avraham and the people of Avraham have only one mission, either to the Jewish people alone, or to mankind alone, whether one is a parochialist or a humanist, so both are wrong. Because in fact, that is how God set up the world, and that's the covenant that God made through us to the rest of the world. Whoever thinks that the covenant of Avraham is so limited, or so limited that it only applies to Jews, and we have no universal mission, or in fact, the one who thinks that we have no specific mission, but just, you know, talk, nice cliches, platitudes to the rest of the world without having it centered in any relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person who thinks that is over basay, or halos asay. What does that mean? It means that person, see, when we're over in asay, what's happened? We've breached one aspect, one fundamental norm of our system. Whatever it is, we violate a law, we treif, machal Shabbos, it means that we've breached, we've violated something which is a pillar of the system, and therefore the system totters. That's the same thing. A person who calls Avraham, meaning that you think his role is limited to one particular nation, so that can't be. That's a big mistake. That's over basse. I guess you could say to darshan it homiletically, that it means you're over an assay, the assay of being or lagoyim. That's the assay, because you're limiting it to one nation. Or the other opinion is that you're over los assay. What's a los assay? Los assay means you're constricting the role of Avram to one particular nation. And both are errors. Both are fundamental errors in how we perceive our oath, how we perceive Avraham Avinu. It's also true, but it's a fundamental misconception in how we perceive the role of the Jewish people in the world. That's why Chazal used that strong language of over basay or over belosasay. There's only one other thing left. What about Sarai? Vayomer Elokim El Avraham Vatoz Brisi Sishmar. You'll keep my covenant. Whoops. Yeah, you keep my covenant, and the covenant will be symbolized by Bris Milah. Vayepatesva Vayomer Elokim El Avraham Sarai Ishtecholosikra Shma Sarai Ki Sarashma. God tells Avram, doesn't tell Sarah, tells Avram. Why? He's telling Avram that Sarah is not an adjunct to you. Not an adjunct to you. That Sarah is not just your wife, but Sarah has a greater role to play. You see, Avram and Sarah really, I don't want to use these language, but they really had a partnership. Right? The being in the Seder, the Torah Rashi says. Avram megayrsa anoshim, Sarah megayrsa anoshim. They really did the same thing. But yet, you can't help avoiding the primary subordinate roles. So God tells Avram, you shouldn't think Sarah is just your wife. In fact, that's how Rashi explains her name. Oh, we'll get to it. Give me a second. Lo tikrash ma Sarai. Demash ma Sarai li. Sarai li means she's my princess. V'lo la'acherim, and not to others. Ki Sarah Samshma Shete Sarah Alko. Her name is going to be Sarah, like a Sar. Sar is a prince. Sarah is a princess. What Avram is being told is that Sarah has a similar role to you regarding the nations of the world. But she's not an adjunct. She's not just Avram's wife. That's what the Medrash says. Eishes Hateres Baila, Baila Nesater Ba, Vehilo Nesater Baila. Sarah is very unique. Avram is crowned through her, but she's not crowned through him. She has an independent existence. So why was Avram told directly? Because Avram was the one who needed to hear this. He was the one who had to be told that Sarah's role is not subordinate. It's not secondary to his role. It's a primary role. As the Medrash continues, Rabban Amri Marta Labailo. She's the mistress, the master to her husband. Whatever happens in other people's homes, here, it's kosher tamar lecha Sarah shma b'kolo. Here you have to listen to Sarah. Avram needed to hear that. If God had told that to Sarah, so now you're setting up almost dual systems where they operate independently of each other. Here it's not a dual system. Here really is they're operating on equal levels together with the same mission. So Avram was the one who had to hear that because Sarah played this role in that mission. That's why the Medrash says, Baila nisater bo. For Avram's mission to succeed, Sarah was indispensable. So you may have wanted Sarah to be Sarai, my princess, the one who serves at my wishes, the one who assists me in my work. So God says no. She's no longer, in a real sense, Sarah lost her. If Sarah saw her primary role as Aishas Avraham, now she's lost that role. And what's her primary role? Sarah Al-Kol. In fact, you see, very shortly, Sarah's own self-definition changes from one who aids Avram in his work to another who becomes a mother to Yitzchak. And from Vayera on, everything that Sarah does relates to her son Yitzchak. She sees her role not just as the mother of child Yitzchak. She sees her role as an Abrahamitic role vis-a-vis the nations of the world from a feminine, from a maternal perspective. That is what Sarah did. So that's why God told Avram, because lest he think that Sarah remains just his wife and his assistant, he's told differently. Sarah is different than any other woman. Sarah, you cannot perceive, if you just perceive Sarah as your own princess, then it constricts, it limits, it diminishes your mission. You have to see Sarah as Sarah Lakol. Avram and Sarah relate to the rest of the world in identical matters. That's why you find later on in Chai Sarah when they speak of the coinage, of Avram and Sarah, they're both on the coins. It's not just Avram's coin. Avram became a nation. It's a nation of one person. He became a nation. The currency of that nation was Avram and Sarah, not just Sarah. That duality is indispensable to the role of Avram and Sarah. Yes?
Can you give a concrete example where we extend ourselves to other mankind as
Orla Goyim?
Yeah.
It's happened since the beginning of time. That's really why they hate us so much.
Yeah, okay.
In the to the extent that we're the conscience of the world, then that's precisely where you see this notion of a light to the nations. See, now we look at it, the practical expressions today are really limited to things which benefit mankind, not necessarily in a spiritual sense. The Jews were always, in every nation, a civilizing element in terms of science and progress and arts and culture, etc. Even though we're not necessarily supposed to be that, but that ensured we're always at the vortex of civilization. But in the classical sense, it's being the conscience of mankind. That people knew what the Jews stood for. When it existed, they're not really on a madrega anymore today, but that's what we strive for. That's what a Jewish state is supposed to be. Be that example to mankind of what God's word, you know, Kimitzion, Tetei Torah, Dvar Hashem, Yerushalayim. That's the whole point of a Jewish state. So to the extent that we achieve that, then we are implementing and carrying out the original plan of God with Avram and Sarah. To the extent that we're not, that's what we have to try to do, because that really is our mandate. Yes, when we mentioned the Medrash earlier, before you joined us, we did the Medrash earlier, yeah. So the Medrash explains that Sarah never was perceived as just Avram's wife. Certain people have an auxiliary definition. This one's husband, this one's parent, this one's son. You know, we go through life like that. Who are you? I'm so-and-so's son. I'm so-and-so's husband or wife or mother or father, etc. Sarah was never, never just known as Avram's wife. That was her greatness. That's correct. So, the he lo nis'atra b'baylo. In other words, l'skabed rak meshi'eshu b'avram. Sarah never received any respect just because she was Eshes Avraham in her own right. That's what it means. A crown to a husband means that, you know, there's the husband, there's the crown. The crown symbolizes the greatness of the husband. It's a it's an ancillary aspect. That's not Sarah. Well, so that means his greatness. His part of his greatness is linked to her. But her greatness is not necessarily linked to him. That's the metric.
Hers is great enough that she
doesn't
want me to
take
care of it. That's not really so equal.
No, that's greater.
Greater.
That's what it says. Yeah. That's exactly what the metric says. She was greater than that. Greater in prophecy. And this greatness manifested itself in the change of the name. That's why, by the way, we don't have... you find the metric in language as well, but that's why... regarding Avram, it says Lo yikareo shimcha Avram. They won't call your name, but Sarai ishtecha lo tikra shma. You can't call her. Why? Because the essential message was to Avram. You have to have an accurate understanding of what Sarah's role is. Because if you don't, then your mission will suffer. That's why there really is no concomitant iser to call Sarah Sarai, as there is to call Avram. Sarai, it's really a little ticker. You can't call her that. Because if you call her that, it means that you're minimizing what she's going to do, the role she has to play in nation building and in propagating God's word. No, exactly the opposite. Kol Asher Tamelech Asar Shema V'Kol means God told Avram, the reference is when they didn't know what to do with Shema later on. God said to Avram, listen to Sarah. Because she has deeper insight than you. I don't know that he did. Yeah, prophecy. But prophecy does not necessarily mean that a person is awake and speaking. Prophecy means a divine communication.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, it could be.
Well, Avram is still more stupid than
That, yeah, it's correct. Often for the public role, the sense that there aren't many women preachers out there going to attract audiences in the ancient world. So Avram still had that primary role. But Avram without Sarah is I don't want to say nothing, but he's not the same. Not the same. Refresh makes a really beautiful point. What's the difference in Avram, in the Hagar Yishmael? I'm sorry, in Yishmael Yitzhak? The difference is the mother, not the father. They both had Avram as a father. The difference is the mother. A Hagar produces a Yishmael, Per Adam, Yad Bakol, V'yad Kolbo, a wild, unrestrained person. Sarah produces Yitzhak Avinu. That's the difference. Avram gave both similar things, but it's the influence of the mother which tells the whole story as to what each one is. That's the greatness of our Avinim, the father and mother of our people. Okay, thank you for coming.